Oh, Steve, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. It's the Bill and Wendy Show. We're thrilled that you're here. Let's not waste a moment of this. This is so exciting. Last night, the Loyola Ramblers did it once again. They beat Nevada.
How are they doing this?
It's magic is how they're doing it. Let's talk to the number one sports fan, the number one Loyola Ramblers fan in all the land, the infamous Sister Jean. Sister Jean, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
We're fine. Have you slept yet, or did you just stay up all through the night?
Oh, listen, I'll tell you, I slept last night. It was just like a dreamland. But this morning I said, no, this is surreal.
This is amazing. Oh. It's such a pleasure to meet you. I was not on the air the last time you were on with us. You are their good luck charm, aren't you?
Well, it's just fun being on and talking to people and knowing that Loyola is doing such a great job to make everybody happy. And actually, we're going to keep making people happy.
All right, a couple things, Sister Jean. Thing number one. Some of the players, kind of what they say, busted you because in your early brackets, you had the Ramblers to win round one and round two, but that's as far as you had them go. So what are you thinking now? Do you think they can go all the way now? Is it possible?
Well, I had two brackets. I had them go into the Sweet 16, mm-hmm. and then I had them go, my Cinderella dream bracket had them going to the top. And yesterday when they came off the court, and Clayton Custer said to me, Sister Jean, we broke your bracket. How do you feel about that? And I said, listen, you can break my bracket anytime as long as you keep going.
That's spectacular. They have won three games in the tournament by a grand total of 4 points. Their average victory margin is 1.3 points. Boy, that can make your heart beat really, really fast, can't it?
I said to them, you have to stop doing this. I might have to take my nitro.
Good.
So it's so close all the time. And it's like a miracle.
How long have you been with Loyola?
Well, I was at Mundelein first. From 1961, since 1961, and then Mundelein College, which was the all-women's college, affiliated with Loyola in 1991. So I've been there since 1991 and having a great time all the time.
Well, we're having a great time watching you. There was a Loyola student who wrote a paper, and you were a coach for basketball, volleyball, and a yo-yo team in the past?
That's right. That was in the elementary school. I started two sports programs in two different schools in California. And those boys and girls, because it was elementary school, had all the time in the world to be playing because we did everything outside. And it was fun. Boys and girls played each other. And we were in the competition with other schools in the CYO, which was the Catholic Youth Organization. Oh. So I've carried a lot of that over because there's always a good transition.
Can you walk the dog and rock the baby and do all those yo-yo tricks?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Wow. You are amazing.
So, Sister...
That's great because that's exactly, and our winner of the Los Angeles area went to the finals in the state, and that's where she lost. And I have to tell you this, she's not a BVM sister the same as I am.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Steve?
So, Sister, what do you make of Kansas State now? We know Bruce Weber here as being Illinois fans years ago, SIU and U of I. How does Loyola match up against Kansas State?
Well, I think I haven't scouted Kansas State yet because I frankly didn't think that that would happen. So it was like with Nevada beating Cincinnati. I had already scouted Cincinnati, so I'm going to do that today. After this interview, I'm going to do that today and see what my plan will be. And the reporters better be ready because I'm not going to tell them today as I did not tell them yesterday. The special guys in the opposite team, what the plan is. So I have a secret way of doing that. And even the reporter came to me after I said that, and he said, "Can you tell me now?" And I said, "No, we can't do that now.
It's a secret." Sister Jean, what about the notoriety you're getting? Every commercial for the tournament features you. There's a shot or two of you in every commercial on CBS. There was one of the sports websites that called you the sports person of the year. There's a version of you made out of Lego bricks that I just showed Wendy a little while ago. You've become very, very famous.
There's memes of you all over the place.
Everywhere.
You probably don't even know what a meme is.
Are you handling this success, this fame, okay?
Oh no, I'm not offended. This is the more fun we have, the better.
Yeah.
If we get uptight about this winning, or if we get uptight, or if we get a big head, then it's going to spoil everything. And that's not going to happen to us. Our fellows are very humble. We're laughing at those things. There's one with me, you know, in a wheelchair making a slam dunk. One with a confessional making a reporter apologize to me for what she said on the news.
Yeah.
And that's just fun.
You know, what's almost as exciting as the Loyola wins are when the team comes up to you after the game and just goes right there to hug you. Those are beautiful moments. We need to see more of that kindness in the world these days.
Well, I just love those sweaty hugs that I get when they come off the team. Every one of them is welcome. And we just do that because we love each other, and they're such wonderful young men on and off the court, and they are just craving to win. So, and they help each other. They're generous. You can see that on the court. They don't care who makes the points as long as we make them.
Teamwork.
And that's important.
I've never seen a team. I said this the other day, Sister Jean. I've never seen a team at any level pass as well as these guys. They almost have a sixth sense as to who's where and who to get the ball to. They're just amazing passers, and that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, Ben Richardson and Clayton, you know, have known each other since kindergarten, and you could almost anticipate what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I like it that we know, but the other teams keep watching our videos, I know, and they try to, you know, stop them, but nothing stops them.
I think you're right.
Well, thankfully, things have changed a bit because in the olden days, isn't it true that nuns weren't allowed to go out after dark, so you wouldn't have been able to go to any of the games?
Oh, I went to some of the games, yes, at Loyola, where Mundelein and Loyola shared the same fence as it was. And so I used to go to the games because our girls used to play Loyola, the girls, young women. We were not in the same conference, so we were so small compared to Loyola. But then we would stay for the boys' games because many times they had doubleheaders in those days. And like everybody would come from the same school at the same time. The whole NCAA was different in certain ways of playing and scheduling games. And today, of course, now I go to all of them.
Yeah.
Where do you get your energy, Sister Jean? Really, you need to bottle that.
Well, I tell people I eat well, I sleep well, and hopefully I pray well.
Oh, excellent. Well, it's working. Sister Jean, you guys, the Loyola Ramblers, have captured the attention of the city, and I would say the country at this point. Everybody loves an underdog, and we're all just amazed at what the Ramblers are doing, and we couldn't be happier for you.
Yes, and I should tell you, too, as I told that other reporter, we're also hearing internationally from Great Britain, Mexico, Canada.
How about
that?
They're
all interested in what we're doing.
Yep.
And so that makes for goodwill.
It sure does.
This is your year.
It is your year. Thank you for spending time with us, and we sure hope to talk to you again before this whole thing is over.
Oh, I hope so, too. Maybe twice more now.
We're fine with that.
We'd love it.
Ready to go.
Have a great weekend, Sister Jean. Thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
God, I love her.
Great Sister Jean, the biggest story in all of sports. That's amazing.
I love her.
It's amazing. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. I wonder if other teams, you know, what happens when a team does well is bigger colleges recruit the coach. They want to steal the coach. I wonder if other colleges will do their best to recruit and steal Sister Jean away from Loyola. I hope that doesn't happen.
She's not going anywhere.
I don't think she's going anywhere.
I found this article, which I need to give credit to Zach Davis. He wrote it for America Magazine. It's a Jesuit review. Mm-hmm. And he is the one who mentioned, Zach Davis, that she, in her early years, was a coach for various girls' teams and a yo-yo team in elementary school. And that was really fascinating to find out. And Zach also mentioned, and I tried to ask Sister Jean about this, in the olden days, they didn't let nuns out after dark. They couldn't, for
that's
safety
true.
Reasons. That's
I didn't know that was
to this.
When you said that, I'm like, I'm not sure that's true, but I guess it's true.
According to this, in what Sister Jean calls the olden days, nuns weren't allowed to go out after dark. When they had night games, Sister Jean's teams would call the convent at halftime, tell her the score, and ask her to pray for them. I believe that.
What? It says what year this took place?
It just says the olden days is what she called it. It's in quotes.
I'm curious what the olden days were. That seems like something that would have happened hundreds of years ago. It obviously happened more recent than that.
I never used to see nuns out at night.
That's strange.
Nuns on the run. I did not see them.
There was when I went to school at St. Damien in Oak Forest, and there was a time where the nuns would go out sometimes for dinner and maybe have a glass of wine, and parents would see this and were in an uproar, like, well, nuns should not be drinking wine. This became a huge issue at our school for
really?
A while. Yeah. They can have a glass of wine.
Yeah, they don't, like, do bottles.
Right. And before anybody texts in, Blue Nun, I know you don't have to text it in. I get it.
Again, Zach Davis said, Sister Jean is a celebrity of the highest degree around campus. She attends everything, orientations, games, plays, rallies, vigils, meetings,
right.
and mass. She does all of this well into her 90s.
98.
Good golly.
98. We just spoke to her. Does she say, like, when you have in your head somebody who's 98, did she sound 98?
No.
Not to me.
No, she sounded like one of our peers.
Yeah.
She did.
I know.
The joy of the gospel. That's what she does. She shares it. And though a recent hospitalization has placed her in a wheelchair for now, she had been as ambulatory as the athletes she ministers to.
Yeah.
What a wonderful story. It is a Cinderella story, big time.
It's gigantic. So you mentioned how the game is exciting, but it's also so nice to see at the end of the game each of the players come up and give her a hug. And then she even referred to them as the sweaty hugs, because every time I do it, I go, those guys just played 40 minutes of basketball. They're going to be a little gamey, but she doesn't seem to mind. She's fine with it.
Did you see one of them hug the post-game interviewer?
Yes, I did.
It was so funny.
Yes, I did. And then she said to him, go hug somebody who you care about.
Right.
At the end.
He apologized. I was like, I'm so sorry I hugged you.
It's just, I love to see it. I mean, you know, it's just so nice to see people coming together as a team, to see the kindness, to see compassion for one another. I know it helps that a win is behind it.
Sure.
But it is so nice to see that.
Yeah. Unless, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, that CBS and TNT have been criticized for showing the crying children shots at the end of the game. They will frequently show the winning team, you know, celebrating, and then they'll go to the stands and they'll find kids who are supporting the losing team. And they'll dwell on them. Not a lot of that yesterday. They kind of skipped over that a bit yesterday.
We discussed it in great detail. And, you know, there's nothing worse than the broken heart of a child. And I think that illustrates there
right.
are winners, there are losers,
yeah.
and there's a crying child in all of us.
So true. Very, very true. All right. We'll get some news in next. Steve will give you the news. And then comedian Ian Bagg joins us. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Before we introduce our next guest, Bill, I got to just tell you, here's why our next guest is like the nicest guy ever. A guy who asks about a woman's hair
yes.
is the most flattering.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I wasn't even
We all want people to pay attention to us. You didn't ask about mine, but our...
Yeah, you're busy putting on lipstick. I thought I already had you.
Menendez was down here, and you were like, is your hair naturally curly? Because I love the way it does that. That's what a woman
wants
to
hear. Is yours curly?
No.
Yours is very straight.
It's very straight.
My wife has curly hair, but she straightens it. That's why I notice women's hair. Because I was trying to figure out yours earlier, but I didn't want to be rude by saying, do you straighten your hair? But she had a curl in it that, I was
right.
that you don't usually see.
Right.
And I was like, is it more curly than that or is it more straight than that?
Yeah.
And she came back with these. I'm having a gelatinous jello drink or something like that. She didn't want to talk about her hair.
And
then she went outside and talked
mostly
to the Jehovah Witnesses.
Your stand-up is mostly hair-based. I've seen you in
hair
clubs
based.
Where you'll do all hair material.
So women love
you. I'm sponsored by Vidal Sassoon.
Oh.
My shows are.
They sponsor you now,
yeah,
Vidal
yeah.
Sassoon.
There's a guy named Colin. Colin, I can't remember his last name. When I started out, he doesn't do comedy anymore, but he used to say, just got my hair cut by a monkey, Vidal Baboon.
You're stealing material of a guy who doesn't
no, you
do
couldn't.
It
well,
anymore.
I'm not doing it on stage, and I'm not stealing. Okay. I'll come over there and curl your hair, girl.
He's now Ian Bagg.
Somebody get those Jehovah Witnesses in here.
You, Ian,
yes.
Wendy and I are baffled because you look younger and more vibrant than you did
maybe
last
you guys got to up your lens crafters.
Maybe
that's what's going on.
I do need
to... Clean your contacts. Wipe your eyes.
Yep,
I'm older than I was last year.
How does that work? How can that possibly be?
My family's Italian and Welsh. So we're very hairy and
yeah.
We have great skin.
Oh, good. Well, it's working
well, the hair
for you.
Protects the skin.
It does. It protects. Look at that guy looking in here. Don't look in here, sir.
Hey, you have a dog on your shirt. Do you have a dog?
That's my dog. That's Minnie Pearl.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's my Minnie Pearl. You can get that at ianbag.com. Minnie Pearl's my French bulldog. And this shirt's, she's got a hockey stick. She's saying, it says, drop it. And my dog is fantastic. She's very talented. You can see her on my Instagram, at ianbag. On Instagram.
Are you afraid that your dog's fame and success will eclipse yours at some
That's
point?
That's why I'm not having children, because I don't trust anybody doing better than I did. So what if I have a kid and it becomes something better
How
than I
How honest.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of parents feel that way and are too yeah. afraid to say that, but you're very honest.
I usually say you can't breed this. This is really the end of the genetic code right
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I don't trust anybody. My wife wants kids, and I'm like, nope, what if it does better in school? What if it is just a better person? What if it has all 10 fingers, unlike me?
You guys must have discussed this prior to getting married, whether or not you'd have children,
no,
right?
That's
it never
not
came
me
up
my
ever
wife. We didn't even discuss getting married before we got married. I just walked into a building one day, and there was a bunch of people there, and I'm like,
a surprise right. wedding.
I just said I do by mistake. I wanted to buy a
really?
Canoe, but it came out I do.
So you were.
I want a canoe. But next thing I know, I was in. A
you were
boat
in a building
a
that performed marriage ceremonies and sold canoes?
Yes. We got married at Dick Sports.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's
Dick Sports
incredible.
One of the best places. You can do anything there. Get your fancy shoes for your wedding. Have a good time. Go down. Who is this lady that's wearing? Oh, security.
Yeah.
I could tell by her glowing jacket.
That says security on it?
Yeah. But it's the security are very small. Like, she doesn't want to actually help. She doesn't want to get hit by a car, but she doesn't want to help. That's what it says.
You could tell just by looking
yeah,
at
by
her.
Yeah, by the size of her security words, I could tell. Her letters.
I'm looking at your IMDb page of all the thing, all of your
nothing,
accomplishments.
Nothing
on there. It's completely empty.
You know what? I don't do
one.
That at IMDb. I don't do the IMDb. It's like it's much like Snapchat for me. I don't.
You
get
just
it.
Don't want to. You don't want to participate.
Yeah.
But it says here you were in a show, and Wendy and I have discussed this show before. But I think you were in the second incarnation of it, Make Me Laugh.
Oh, yes, it was the second incarnation. Oh, if you want to talk about a bad day in Ian's life, I did three
Why?
Episodes. It was the worst show. Ever.
Explain the premise for
you
people who have never seen
you're
Make
supposed,
Me Laugh.
They would bring, it was a game show. They'd bring people on and you had to make people laugh.
Right.
It was on Comedy Central.
Bobby Van originally.
Yeah, he
yeah,
was fantastic.
One, but it
yeah.
was it was like, it was the great comics. That it wasn't comics. It was just people doing. Right? And I don't.
See, that would make me laugh. I'm sorry.
But I don't do that stuff. I do that as a person. But I did my material.
Can you just,
I did my material.
For Wendy's sake, Ian. Just,
see, I just want $500.
Just do
it again. Like that.
See?
Not
I might
as good,
have
not
to start wearing Depends when he's in the studio.
Somebody go to CVS and pick her up a pair of those underwears that don't leak.
So they, but their goal, the contestant's goal, is to not sit in a chair and to not laugh.
Yes.
But you have to do
But I was at, the beginning of my career, so I was used to people not laughing.
Aww.
And would kind of fall apart as they didn't laugh. So Aww. Basically, that's what it was. I just remember showering, like, first day of hooking. You know, I just couldn't get it off me. Right. I was like, oh, it just won't come up. I'm
and the
so
good news
dirty.
Is you have to do three back-to-back-to-back. So if it's not going well to begin with,
and
it
not
just,
only that,
it gets
worse. I did three or four episodes. So it was just, I remember one point I remember the tape stopping. That's how bad it was. You can hear the tape stopping. They're like, this isn't working out,
Mr.
Bay. We're not even laughing, and we're the people that hired you.
Oh no.
Yeah, but I hated
no,
it.
You know,
so they threw it on my IDMBM.
It's on there.
I gotta go on there and take all that stuff off. There's some interesting things on there.
You know, on the first version of it, the Bobby Van version from mm-hmm. the '70s, so many of the comics that were on it, not famous at the time, but went on to be very, very famous.
Uh-huh. Like who? Name like names. Who?
Bob Saget was on there.
Really?
Gary Shandling was on there.
Shandling, yeah. Saget.
Right.
Anymore?
Just those two.
Just a small little Asian couple walking by.
And what did you?
Look how tiny they are.
What work? It's radio. People can't really see this right now.
Everybody look with me. Everybody look with me and her and her fancy bag.
You're making listeners drive downtown to see what you see.
She is so tiny. She's got a handbag that looks like a giant overnight purse.
You worked with Judd Apatow, and you're not rich? How did that happen?
I know. Judd screwed me over. That's what it is. Judd Apatow, I am an enemy against you. I'm going to put it out there. Judd Apatow, if you're listening to this, this is Ian Bagg. You're on my list, sir.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
on the list.
I know what it is. I know
happened?
I have a list. Well, there's a no-fly list, and there's a no-work list.
Yeah.
And Judd is on the no-work list. I did this movie called Funny People with him. He picked
Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Right?
So
yeah.
there was like, I think, six comics or three or six, I can't remember. But he
it's a big difference.
Three or six. No, it's half. I'm in the 50% range.
All right.
I've seen everybody's pools with basketball. I'm not that far off.
All right.
Okay, so and we have to do a half an hour, and here's the selling point. We're building comedy clubs, and we're going to tape three or six, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And we're going to put them in the DVD. And we don't know if we have enough room in the DVD, so it might not make it in, but you'll get paid. And you will have a half an hour special that will be shot by the director of photography from Saving Private Ryan.
Wow.
And I'm just like, well, this sounds good. So my agent at the time, I'm like, okay, perfect. So I do it, and I get paid. I keep getting paid, but I don't make it into the movie. We don't make it into the DVD. But I'm like, I got this great. I got a special, a 30-minute special that I can use, and it was great. It was in front of 500 people, and I remember it was such a good day. And somehow we did not get this special.
Oh no!
So I had something directed by, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he was the director of photography
for Saving Private Ryan,
and Judd Apatow directed these specials, and that was all I was doing it for, was to get this half an hour tape, and I didn't get it. So Judd Apatow, and who else was in that movie? Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
I'm out looking for you. I'm like the lady that ran the fan club for Selena in the movie Selena.
No,
I'll be looking for you. I'm a little Filipino lady that is coming.
Don't
for
do
you.
That. Ian Bagg is performing at the Improv,
That's
the
right.
Chicago Improv, for either
Chicago.
Three nights or six nights. We don't know.
Chicago. It's I'm
will
three,
be three nights
I'm
or
there
six
either,
nights.
I'm either there 365 days a year
or
three nights.
Nights.
I can't remember.
ChicagoImprov.com.
I can't remember. I think it's three
has
nights.
All your information. We'll come back and talk
Ian
to Ian Bagg. More next. It's
IanBagg.com.
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 Ian Bagg is our guest.
Yeah.
It's true. Ian is performing at the Chicago Improv
in Schaumburg.
In Schaumburg,
it's actually called the Almost Chicago Improv.
Is that what
they're
referring to it as? Yeah,
that's what I call it.
Which do you like more, doing stand up more or acting more?
Stand up.
Do you
acting? Acting's a necessary evil in any stand up's life
because
mm-hmm. you have to build a crowd somehow. So you got to do things. It's things that you have to play. Construction worker number four, because that will sell out the.
But do you do this, Ian? Because back when I did both, if I was doing stand-up and it wasn't going well, I'd say to myself, well, what difference does this make? I'm an actor. It doesn't matter. And if I went on an audition that didn't do well, I'd go, well, I'm a stand-up.
Stand-up through and through.
You are.
Yeah. So sometimes I'll get acting stuff and it'll take the pressure off of stand-up, which will make me a better stand-up.
When the pressure's not there.
But I never say, I'm not a stand-up. I'm embarrassed. Sometimes you'll hang out with people that'll try to get free things by offering people tickets to the show, that's when I'm embarrassed to being a stand-up. Right. I'm like, hey, my career isn't worth bartering, all right? I don't need a free burger at Sally Mae Junior University or whatever it's called.
Right.
Because, yeah, there's a level of greasy comic that I don't want to be associated with. That's all.
You've done some drama. It's not all comedy for you,
drama.
Right?
You've seen my fights with my parents?
Yes.
Bom, bom, bom.
What do you fight with your parents about?
Mostly everything. My dad mostly not putting in his hearing aids when he talks to me. I hate that. It drives me insane.
Do you know who Jack Burns is?
No.
Burns and Schreiber?
No.
That was his... He would do a comedy team with Schreiber.
And that's all they do?
That's all he would do with that.
My dad... My favorite thing to do, my dad, is to call from my wife's phone.
Oh.
Because he thinks it's going to be her.
Look at these practical jokes.
But no, it's not practical jokes. It's just great to hear the disappointment in his voice. Oh. What it turns out to
but
be me.
You.
Hello. Meh. Just disgusted.
Do you find similarities between yourself and your dad, or your dad and mom?
Yes.
What's the similarities?
I'm getting hairier as I get older. Yeah. I had no idea that. I'm lucked out. I'm not bald. My dad is bald.
Yeah.
I noticed.
I thought it's the mom's father
my
that determines that.
My mom's bald.
Oh, your mom is bald. Oh. All right.
My mom wears this great curly wig. Nobody knows.
Oh.
She actually, my mom's cheap. She doesn't even wear a wig. She wears a swim cap. You know those swim caps?
Swim caps
that have the flowers on them?
Oh, yeah.
She wears that.
That's a good look.
From back in the 40s, she wears
Mom's
that.
Esther Williams.
My dad's nose runs all the time. And I've started to get that. I'm just like, I'll be on stage. I'm like, is my nose running? And I'll touch my nose. Everybody's, yo, cocaine. And I'm like, no, I've just turned into my dad for no apparent reason. When I'm in arenas, like when I'm in hockey arenas, I go play hockey and stuff like that, I find myself whistling songs that he whistled when he'd take me to hockey.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't
like
know what that's about.
Can you give us an example?
I don't know what it is. I'll just be like. And that's not the song, but I'm just like, that's just whistling my dad would whistle.
Wendy maintains.
Hello, little children. Enjoy your day, children.
Wendy says only old guys whistle. Is
because
that true?
Because you whistle.
True? I whistle. I like to whistle.
Yeah, you're an old gay.
Yeah.
Do you also put your hands in your pocket and jingle your change? Because old people do that,
I don't have change. I'm rich. I've got nothing. Jingle my dollar bills. That's how rich I am.
My hundreds.
My hundreds. Yeah, my 50s. You mean to jingle my 50s?
Yes, I do.
Yes. No, I don't know. How old are you?
50.
Don't say it. That's how Howls and Hood started.
You are nuts. You really are, and I enjoy it immensely.
You are nuts. I enjoy it from a distance.
It's a fun kind of dementia. Brothers and sisters for you, Ian? Or no,
I have a sister who's a teacher in a little Indian village north of where I grew up. I went the other way. I'm like, I'm off to California, my sister. I'm going deep in the thick of it. And she teaches history, which makes me laugh. Like in an Indian village, she told me about one day where some kid came in and just looked at her and says, "My grandpa says you're wrong."
What'd she say to them?
She's just like, "Okay, but it's in a book. My grandpa says it's wrong."
That's great.
But there's a song about it that goes like this: "Hey, ho, hey, la, hey, ho, hey, la." And then dance around the fire.
Now that was the same bit that they used to do.
I'm never gonna
laugh.
I'm
you said one on Make
Me
Laugh. I know
they took that right off.
Oh.
I am never gonna play an Indian casino after that. This is gonna come back to me like John Bolton and his mustache trying to get confirmed. Hey, what are you? You're smoking Ann on the phone? You're going for crazy things, sir. Can hear us?
Yes, you can hear. Yeah.
Sir, get off the cigarettes or the phone. I had no idea. I've just been yelling at people the whole time.
They can hear you.
Hey, Jehovah Witnesses. Jehovah Witnesses that are just standing there handing out pamphlets. Go door to door, you lazy...
Careful.
Heaven lovers.
Careful. Oh, yeah. Didn't see that coming.
You did not see that coming, did you?
So the next time you're in, we need to give the listeners a heads up so they can
heads
come down to the
up.
Studio and see what you're seeing.
Skipping school for spring break, children walking by, children.
He doesn't need us. We should just walk out of the room.
I should have my own show here.
Yeah,
I should have my own show called Talking to the Window with Ian Bagg, Talking to the Window. But it's well,
you
but
wouldn't
it's,
go with
but,
in the bag if you had your own
no,
show.
No, I'd go talking in the mirror and I dress like a budgie. And I just talk to myself.
Now that's a show.
You want to fight? You want to fight?
That's a show.
You want to fight? What are you doing? Who's stealing the seed? You're not stealing the seed. I'm stealing the seed.
Ian Bagg is performing all this weekend.
He's performing right now.
He's performing right now.
Look at this guy wearing track pants. Interesting. That could get you in trouble. That could get you in dribbles.
Go see Ian Bagg. ChicagoImprov.com has all the information.
Chicago.
And possibly a cure.
IanBagg.com.
You're making me cry.
At Ian on Instagram. At Ian Bagg. Sir, you want to follow me on Instagram?
Yep.
At Ian Bagg. IanBagg.
He's already done that.
Handsome man. Married.
Are you going to follow him on? You
ladies, speak? Wearing warm jackets. Looking good out there.
Yep.
You're welcome.
See what a gracious
city
this is?
Talk to the Jehovah Witnesses. They've got a good speech for you just down the street there. They're going to have a good speech for you.
Ian, great to see you.
Look at this guy on the street.
This guy's wearing a running jacket with jeans.
Yep.
Very cocky.
Ready for
very
anything.
Cocky.
Thank you, Ian. Have a good rest of the week.
I'm not leaving.
You no, guys, you say hi to your dog.
Are you guys telling me I'm gone?
What's your name?
Minnie Pearl.
Minnie Pearl the dog.
Howdy. Tell her howdy for me.
No, she does. She goes, hey, man.
She's got a hat.
She's got a southern accent. That's why I picked Minnie Pearl. Hey, we're going for a walk now. She says that all the time. Hey, we're going to you going to take me for a walk? I think it's time for go for a walk now. Yay. Oh, this person lying with a wheelchair.
Thank you, Ian.
Oh, boy.
Ian Bagg, everybody.
Oh, boy.
ChicagoImprov.com
boy.
Has
turns off the interview.
More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, are you okay, Wendy? Is everything all right? Uh-oh. Wendy's having chest pains. Hey, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy, and our guest is Kurt Wagner. You know Kurt from TVShowPatrol.com. He runs this website, great website, TVShowPatrol.com, and we have him on every week, and we talk about TV. How are you, Kurt?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. We miss you in the studio. Everything all right?
Everything's fine. I'm just busy.
All right.
I want to say one name to you because I have a crush on him. Timothy Oliphant.
Oliphant's never forget, Wendy. You know that.
I love him. I don't know why, but I love him.
He's a good actor.
He's awesome, yeah. And he's really funny, like sly funny, you know? Like I've interviewed him and he just sort of is always sort of feels like he has this little bit of mocking thing going on. Like he's sort of mocks the whole idea of stardom and of being interviewed and all that kind of thing. So it's always fun to chat with him.
Well, there's a story about him today, but I just want to say before anything else, I can't believe how versatile he is. I knew him. I know the story is about Deadwood, and I can't wait to hear it, but he played the sheriff, Seth Bullock, on Deadwood, and then all of a sudden he started popping up in comedies, like in movies and other TV shows. He was on The Office for a little while.
He was most recently in Santa Clarita Diet with Drew Barrymore, which I watched every episode of, and I still can't tell you if I like it.
Oh.
But I watched it. What?
Today is your day, because Santa Clarita Diet, Season 2, streaming today on Netflix.
Yep.
I watched every episode. I swear, you guys, I can't. I mean, it's like it's interestingly funny.
Mm-hmm.
When
I love that show. I think it's so bizarre and so weird.
It is.
Yeah.
I love Drew Barrymore and I love Oliphant. So,
all right, give us some Oliphant news. What do you know about Timothy Oliphant?
Well, what do I know about Timothy Oliphant? I know that he talked yesterday about the Deadwood movie.
We've been waiting for about, is it 6 or 7 years since Deadwood went off?
It's that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
So he was talking to some radio show, not WGN, sadly, but some other radio show. And he said that it's hard to get everybody together, even for a barbecue.
Wow.
So let alone to do the whole production that lasts a month or two. But they have written, David Milch has written a script. HBO really wants to do this, and the HBO boss in January had said, you know, we're hoping to get it started in the fall of 2018, so this fall. But they're still trying to make everything happen with everyone's schedules. But it will happen sometime, sooner or later.
Oh, I hope so. The show was so great, and it ended so abruptly, and everybody said, well, don't worry, in a year or so, they'll all come back for a movie or a limited series. So, yeah, as soon as they do it, I can't wait. I love that show.
Yeah, so, yeah, keep your fingers crossed that everybody gets freed up. You know the other good show he was in was Justified, Timothy.
Oh, right, sure, yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Which was a heavy drama. Oh, you would love it. Wendy. You Justified. Would love it, I think. And the funny thing with that was a, this big, heavy drama, and he always talked about how he played it like he was in a comedy.
Oh,
which is really, which is really funny because it was really strong drama. But I could see that. Yeah, he's great.
There's another show that I've been getting into. I really love Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Glenn Howerton is in a new sitcom called AP Bio. Is that the title of it? Am I right on that one?
Yep.
He's being Dennis. He's being kind of a jerk guy in it, but the he is teaching a class of students in high school. He's a scholar and is killing some time teaching until something better comes along, and the kids are really good actors. It's really funny.
It is, and it's also, I think, really kind of this sly humor that's in there. He uses his class, his students, to get seek revenge on his nemesis, who is another professor who got the Harvard job that he wanted. And so he has them doing all kinds of things to this guy, like you know, pretending online to be a woman that is, you know, wants to meet him, and doing all this other weird stuff. But then there's just a lot of stuff, like the workplace sitcom part of it's really funny too. There's his fellow teachers, and Patton Oswalt plays the principal.
Patton's really good in this. He's in everything. Everything.
His character always is sort of at the same time seeking this guy's approval, but also trying to be his boss. So it's a weird dynamic there too.
And this is Seth Meyers is behind this, right, Kurt?
Yes.
Well, he is one of the producers. Mike O'Brien wrote it and is the showrunner of it. He's a former Chicago comedian.
An SNL cast member for a year.
Second City guy, an SNL writer, and now he's doing this. And he's really funny, too. You can go to Sun Times and find an interview I did with him and with the actresses, who are also two of the actresses who play the teachers are Second City alum, too.
Oh, excellent.
Super funny show. Really enjoy it.
Good.
It is. It's good.
This is the week that Roseanne finally comes back to television. Have you seen any of the episodes yet, Kurt?
I saw the first episode when I was at TCA, and it felt like the old show, but of course the topics are new. You know, there's a lot of Roseanne fighting with Jackie, her sister, played by Laurie Metcalf.
Because of political reasons, a little bit?
Political reasons, yeah. Jackie's a huge Hillary Clinton supporter, and Roseanne, as is Roseanne Barr herself, is not. And so they are fighting about, you know, they have clash in that episode, but there's all kinds of funny stuff in there, you know, and one of the daughters is back and has her own kid and treats her kids like Roseanne treated her. And, you know, it's just all, it feels like they haven't really, you know, missed a beat.
See, that's the ultimate compliment, Kurt, because I always think with these shows that do come back after a while, if you don't have that, then you're in trouble. You want it to seem seamless, like no time had elapsed, you know?
Right.
Will
right.
and Grace is like that. When I watch Will and Grace now, it's like they were never gone.
Right. It does. It felt that way to me. I just thought the new political topics are bizarre, and it's a little weird too to hear Roseanne spout all this conservative stuff, because the original show was so groundbreaking in its treatment of LGBT characters and female characters, you know, like the women empowerment stuff. But I think that this is a sly, I think there's going to be a twist coming down, you know, or some kind of, there's a reason for the heavy conservatism of her character, I think, this time.
We had Lisa Goranson on, who plays the original Becky and then the coming back Becky, and the guy who...
Bruce Helford.
Who, what was
executive
his...
Executive producer.
Okay, and I brought up, just kind of as a joke, if Tom Arnold is going to be part of it, because he was, they said all the original cast members would be back. I know that Tom Arnold is a nasty word, but they were like, absolutely not.
Yeah. That's where they drew the line.
Yeah.
We'll be okay with Trump. We'll talk about Trump in a positive light, but Tom Arnold, no thank you.
Right.
That's where we say no. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You're going to break a hip. You know that, right?
My hips are fine. It was just bad knees.
Oh, that's it. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. He comes by on Friday, and we talk about TV, what's coming on, what's already on, what's not doing well. Kurt, I know you can't go into specifics because there's some people who have not seen it yet, but apparently the final episode of X-Files upset a lot of people. That's all I know.
Yeah.
It's been on?
Oh, yeah. The last episode just aired the other night.
I better catch up.
Do you know what I'm referring to? Whatever happened at the very end, a lot of people are furious about. Do you know what that would be? And if you don't want to say, don't say. You have to be careful.
There's a way to talk about it without saying.
All right, just tell me this. Did it upset you? I know you're a fan of the show. Whatever happened at the very end, did it upset you?
I never get upset.
Okay. Did it upset you?
I didn't see it.
Oh. I gave up on it after
I did see all the, all the reaction, I guess, but, you know.
There was some bizarre twist that happened toward the end of the last episode that people went, what are you doing? You know, but I did that last season.
Yeah, me too.
I never give up on shows. If I'm into a show, I watch it to the bitter end.
It seems like people had that reaction to a lot of things on the return of X-Files, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of, there's people complain a lot.
Kurt, you just summed it up beautifully. That's true. They do.
Now, is Sunday night the finale of Walking Dead?
Mm-mm,
oh, there's
yet.
Still more?
A few more, yeah.
I don't know why I thought it already happened, but I'm seeing these previews of something with Donald Sutherland that I cannot wait to watch.
He's not in Walking Dead.
No.
No, but he's on Trust.
He's on Trust. That is my pick of the week.
I can't wait to see this.
It is so good. You're going to love it. I think, who knows? I'm sure you'll love it. It's so weird. But it's about the Getty family, the Getty dynasty, J. Paul Getty, who was this oil bajillionaire back in the 70s, and he was the weirdest guy. Donald Sutherland plays him, and he gives him this very... He's just so good in this. He gives him this really bizarre... rich man, like he's privileged and he wants things a certain way all the time, but he like lives with the harem of women. He has, I think,
so does Bill.
I do too. Yeah.
Four mistresses living with him in this big giant mansion called Sutton Place in outside of London, even though he's not British, he was an American. And he just did all these things because he could.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's created by Simon Beaufoy, wrote it, and Danny Boyle directed the first three episodes.
Oh, that Danny Boyle's very impressive.
Yeah, and they were the team behind Slumdog Millionaire, and I think they both were part of Trainspotting, too. I know Danny Boyle was. But they've worked together several times, so you know, they created this, like, really... The first three episodes are they like switch between sort of styles and it gets really loose and sort of trippy, like 70s trippy in one part of it, and then it goes into, you know, all this other, like, sort of a little police drama-ish in part of it, and then there's the whole thing with the rich dude. But the first season of this is about how J. Paul Getty's grandson was kidnapped in 1973, I think, and held for ransom, and the old man didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Pay for him to get out.
That's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this whole season sort of stretches out. That movie that came out last fall, All the Money in the World, was the same story, but this one stretches that story out to 10 episodes and does this really cool stuff with sort of extrapolating from historical fact and from Simon Beaufoy's research, where he got to read a bunch of stuff that he says intimated certain things about the family and about this whole case. And so they sort of extrapolate on that, and it sort of conjectures that that the grandson staged his own kidnapping, but then he really was kidnapped when the grandpa wouldn't pay. And so then he was like this Italian gang then actually did kidnap him.
Mm.
And that's when he got his ear cut off. And So it goes into all this weird stuff. But
do they play Steelers wheel stuck in the middle with you and his ears gets cut off like in Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah.
I don't know. They wouldn't tell me. They wouldn't show us that episode, and no one would answer any questions about how they handle the ear slicing thing. So I don't know for sure what happens there. But I don't. I'm not probably not explaining this very well, but it's so good, and it's so trippy. Brendan Fraser's in it. He plays Getty's fixer. You know, who's like an ex-military guy, and he goes to Rome to try and find the grandson. And the whole, all his scenes are really cool because he talks to the camera. He, like, breaks the wall there a little bit and talks to the camera. And he has this real sort of Western guy swagger to him. And the way he deals with all the suspects is really cool, too.
I haven't seen Brendan Fraser in anything in, like, 3 or 4 years.
Which is sad to your daughter. Didn't one of your daughters have a crush
Kylie
on him?
Kylie had a crazy crush on him when she was 2. Yeah, she loved George of the Jungle. She saw that 1,000 times.
Strap in, because he's in this, and he's in, coming later this year, Condor.
Yeah.
Which is a remake of 3 Days of the Condor.
Oh, the Robert Redford movie.
Yeah, and that's going to be a TV series. And then... What else is he in? There's something else he's got coming
up. So he's working again. That's good news.
Yeah.
Oh, and Kurt, one more quick thing. I've seen a bunch of ads for this show called Terror about something horrific that happens on a boat in old time times. Do you know anything about Terror?
Yeah, and that's another one. That starts Monday. That's on AMC. It is about the Royal Navy's lost 1845 expedition to discover the Northwest Passage in Antarctica. And it's based also on a true story. And two ships went and got stuck in the ice, and they were supposed to be there for a winter, and they thought it would thaw and everything would be great, and it ended up extending to a couple of years, and they kept doing these things, trying to send people out to find a way out, and they never returned. And actually, I think one of the ships was only found, like, within the last 5 years.
That's freaky.
That looks good. And Brendan Fraser plays one of the ships in this. He's very talented.
It's based on a book, but the show has this sort of supernatural thing that's, you know, something's coming to get them.
Yeah. Oh, that
sounds
good.
Like.
All right.
Yeah, and so that's coming up, too. So there's a lot of good things. The Americans' new season starts this week, too.
And Barry, with Bill Hader, it looks good. HBO, he's a low-rent hitman.
Bill Hader and Henry Winkler.
Oh, that's right. How is that? Because it looks really good.
It's a little weird, but it's like a dark comedy. You know, he plays a hitman, and he goes out to L.A. To do a hit, and he follows his target into an acting class, and then gets hooked, that Henry Winkler teaches, and then gets hooked on acting.
That's a funny concept.
It's a very funny idea.
Well, even though he's horrible at it, he gets hooked on acting, so then he's taken Henry Winkler's class.
Excellent. And Kurt, really quick, one of our listeners, we don't have time to plug the call in, but Mike wants to know if The Alienist is coming back for another season. Do you know?
Oh, I do. I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure if they will or not. Probably, I don't know. I can't tell you.
All right.
I'm not
allowed to know. All right.
I'm not even going to guess on that one.
Kurt, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in 7 days.
Okay.
It's Kurt Wagner.
Thanks, Kurt.
His website is tvshowpatrol.com. We'll take a quick break and then get some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim Gordon.
I saw this yesterday, Wendy, and I was surprised then, and then I thought it would go away, but it didn't. It still exists, so let me share it with you. Do you remember Byron Allen?
I almost said some very mean things
Wendy, go ahead.
He was...
Just let me hear them, and then we'll decide if you should say them or not.
He was like the poor man's Arsenio Hall.
Yes.
He was
right.
Not funny.
Oh.
He really wasn't, and I wanted to like him. I really, truly did. He had the Byron Allen show. It feels like he's always working.
Didn't he start out on that show Real People?
I think so.
I think he might have been 18 or 19 years old. So this was John Barber and Skip Stevenson. They had like 4 or 5 hosts.
Sarah Purcell, was
Sarah
she
Purcell
part of it?
Sarah Purcell was part of that. Very good. Very good.
You know,
that's
can
impressive.
I just say, like, there are,
that's
you know,
impressive.
Women wear sexy things and, you know, Bill looks the other way. But if you mention, like, an old television reference.
You got me.
You are so weird.
Behind one door is a woman in a lingerie, a see-through lingerie. And behind the other one is a woman who knows something about Tennessee tuxedo. Which door would I open?
The Tennessee tuxedo
every day. Yep.
Well, of course, Chumley.
Yeah. See? It's getting warm in here. All right. So, yeah,
but
Byron
he wasn't
Allen.
Funny, and I wanted. He seemed like a nice enough guy.
That was the thing, is he was a comedian, and the word
this
comedian,
is the nice comedian
implies comedy,
he
but
wasn't
he was
funny.
Just. He was a pleasantedian. He was just nice, you know? So, all right. So, since then, since he was on Real People, and if people don't remember that show, that was just a show where they just told stories about quote unquote real people across the country.
I loved it.
Doing semi extraordinary things, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, after that,
like
he started.
Sister Jean would be on it. Something like that. It's just, you know, interesting stories about your everyday people.
Yeah.
It was a really great show.
Yeah. And I'm convinced he was a teenager when he was on it. I think he was like 19 or maybe 20 years old. He was very, very young.
I don't think he was.
You don't think he was that young? Because remember, his mom had to sit by him because it was on late. So his mom was always there. All right. So after that, he did this thing that I think was really smart. I think he understood maybe what his limitations were and knew he wasn't going to get any kind of superstardom on his own. So he started creating these shows and syndicating them. The most notable one, he still has one now. Remember, you told me about some show you were watching where they would ask a question, they would ask advice of all these different comics.
That's his
property. But the one that stands out the most was a show called Kicking It with Byron Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Unfortunately, yes.
It was on like at 2:30 in the morning on some channel, and sometimes you'd happen across it, and it was just him just kind of hanging out with people. He was kicking it with Byron Allen.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
All right, so why do I bring this up? Because Byron Allen, the same Byron Allen that you and I have been talking about for the past 4 minutes, just bought the Weather Channel for $300 million. How did Byron Allen get $300 million?
And there is no two, because really, how?
A and B is also, did you just say Byron Allen bought the Weather Channel for $300 million? Yes.
Although I'm reading on encyclopedia.com now, I don't know if this is like Wikipedia where people can change things and lie, but it says that he, and I don't know, maybe you knew this, he performed as a comedian in numerous nightclubs beginning in 1975, worked as a comedy writer for various comedians and television shows, including Good Times and Chico and the Man. Did you know that?
I knew he wrote for TV shows. I didn't know which shows.
Those are pretty
impressive.
Good shows.
That's very impressive.
Then the co-host of Real People from 79 to 84. That's
right,
on
so
longer than I thought.
If he started in 79, does it say what year he was born in there?
No, I'll get to that. Yeah. Host and executive producer of the Byron Allen Show. Selected television appearances include The Tonight Show, Dinah, Hollywood Squares, and The Merv Griffin Show. Co-writer, co-producer, and co-star of Case Closed, a television movie in 1988.
I don't remember that one.
I don't either.
But just the mere fact that he did a shot or two on Dinah and Merv Griffin shows that...
61 he was born.
All right, he was born in 61. He was on in 79, so he was 18 years old when
Good
he started
golly,
on.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
I know.
All right, I'd be willing to give him a bit of a break on that.
Well,
he wasn't bad on that.
That's the thing that I kind of admire about him, is because he's not uproariously funny, and yet somehow he was able to amass at least $300 million.
No, he had to finance some of that. I'm sorry.
Think so?
He did not just whip out his checkbook and write a check for $300 million.
He had to have a bunch of cash to even walk in the door and make them an offer. But his thing was always not being the funniest comic, but he was more of an entrepreneur than a comic. Because like I said, other than Kicking It with Byron Allen, he would always do these shows where at the beginning of the show, he'd go, hey, I'm Byron Allen. Here's who's coming on today's show. Robert Redford, Meryl Streep. It was all like all the A-listers.
Yeah.
And you go, how did he pull that off? But it was all like just, I don't know, somebody doing him a favor or something. Somebody must have liked him.
At 14, the 14-year-old Byron Allen devoted his whole life to school and working on comedy routines. At 14, making sure to practice at every opportunity. One night, while he was standing around the halls of NBC waiting for his mother, who was a television executive.
That's going to help.
Yeah. Allen started telling his jokes to anyone who would listen, including one of comedy star J.J. Walker's writers. Let me just find out his mom, because she is Carolyn Folks.
I don't know her.
Who?
But Jimmy Walker had. this is weird, but Jimmy Walker amassed this list of writers that was incredible. Like, he had the best writers. David Letterman started out as a writer for Jimmy Walker.
That is
hard to imagine.
I got to let that sink in for a minute.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Does it?
So the listener was so impressed with the jokes that Alan was saying that he called his boss, told him about this young comic he found. Walker called Alan a few nights later, offered him a job on his staff of comedy writers, which at the time included David Letterman.
Yeah.
Wow. For the next few years, Alan continued to refine his stand-up routine at various clubs around L.A. and to write jokes for comedians like Freddie Prinze. But Alan never let his career get in the way of his education. By the time he was 16 years old, he was working two or three shows a night while maintaining a B average at Fairfax High School. I don't want to know this stuff because I should like him more then. He worked his butt off.
I admire the fact that he was so industrious and studious and realized, I need to make this a business.
This is going to make you mad.
What?
He was so adamant about getting a good education that when he got a call from the talent coordinator at The Tonight Show during his senior year, Alan turned them down. He said, I was right in the middle of high school and midterms, and I knew that those would be the grades that the University of Southern California was going to look at, so I turned them down.
It ended up being the right move. Look at what he's doing. He's doing great for himself.
Good.
It's hard, but
$300 million.
All right. So here's the headline I see yesterday when I get home: comedian buys Weather Channel for $300 million. So I don't want to open the story. I want to figure it out on my own. I'm like, well, who would have that kind of money, and who would want to buy the Weather Channel? Like, if I had that money, first of all, I'd buy Toys R Us right now.
Right, but they're $5 billion
in debt.
You can't afford
that's
them.
That's a mistake. Right.
You could afford the Weather Channel though. No.
I think
well, John Coleman was the one, former weatherman here, started it up.
Right.
Who would you have thought?
I couldn't think of
David Letterman?
Single... No. Although he was a weatherman in Indiana. I couldn't think of a single person that it made sense to spend that much money on the Weather Channel. $300 million. And then when I read it, I go, Byron Allen? Like, that wouldn't have even... If I had 100 guesses, I would not have guessed Byron Allen.
Although we are questioning his role as a comedian, but John, you find him funny on his show?
He is on a show called Funny You Should Ask.
That's what I was talking
That's
about.
That's the one.
Night show on Channel 26, WCIU. And he's on sometimes. He's not on every show, but he's listed as the producer.
Yeah.
And that's where you make the money. That's how Oprah got, when she got ownership of her show, that's how she made all her money, was as the producer and owner of the show.
Seinfeld's the same way with his show, Seinfeld. He's the producer. He owns the rights. So he and Larry David split all that money. They're, you know, he's set for life. Not from the performing end of it, but from the ownership end of it.
Right, yeah.
All right, well, that makes sense. And what happens on that show again? Funny You Should Ask.
What they do is they have six comics.
And they're big names.
Oh, yeah.
So, they have Howie Mandel,
yeah.
Cheryl Hines, John Kelly is the... He used to
he's
be
the host.
The sports guy at Channel 5.
Here.
Yeah, Channel
he's
5.
The MC.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a funny show. They do what they do. They have two contestants trying to win money, and it's only $5,000, and most of the time they don't even win that. But
that's why Byron Allen has all that money, John. He keeps all the prize money
right.
for himself.
It's such a cheap winning.
I know.
Yeah, it's like most of the time they don't even win the $5,000. They win about $1,000.
Yeah.
But anyway, what they do is they ask a question of each comic, and it's either sometimes true or false, or, you know, they just give an answer. And first the comic will make a funny remark about it. Instead of answering, you know, straight, they'll give a funny answer. And then they'll answer with a straight answer.
Kind of like Hollywood Squares.
A little bit like that, yeah.
The contestant has to agree with the comic or not, and they win money that way.
Well, I'll look for Byron Allen. John, we got to run. We got to take a break. But I didn't know he performed on it. I did know he produced it.
He performs on it as a comic sometimes. But he's listed as the producer of the show.
Yep.
Thanks for the info.
Thank you, John.
Okay, take it easy.
Take care. Another satisfied Byron Allen fan.
There's one.
There's one right there. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill Left and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Byron Allen, former stand-up comic, talk show host, former contributor to Real People.
At a very young age.
As a teenager.
Yeah.
Bought the Weather Channel. I didn't know it was for sale.
I didn't either. But he's bought other similar, maybe not as high-profile network situations, but I've seen his name connected with other purchases in the past. But $300 million...
We need new financial advisors.
Yes.
I think we need new. We need a financial
advisor. Yes,
and some money.
Yeah, we'll get with that and the financial advisor. Yeah.
How does somebody have $300 million?
In his case, I have to say, even though he's not, I don't know that he'd make
even
anyone's list.
He is not funny.
He's so in love with you, honey.
Oh, my God.
But look at what he did. Like, he realized, I'm not the best stand-up comic out there, so I'll make my money work for me. And he just kept buying things and acquiring things. And I swear, I used to watch that Kicking It with Byron Allen show with my jaw dropping, going, hey, how did this happen?
I know.
It's crazy.
Well, he's a genius.
Several people are saying that the show that he's on now... Do you remember the name of it? The name of it escapes me. We just heard the name of it.
You know, I was looking in my notes because I made notes.
You brought this show up.
Funny you should ask. Yeah, because I was shocked at how bad it was.
You just by chance found it a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or so.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see John Kelly because he went from like NBC 5 Sports to like Entertainment Weekly or something.
Yeah, he was doing a similar.
And then it's like, this is what he's doing, really?
Yeah.
And then I was surprised to see Howie Mandel and Cheryl Hines.
Oh, I saw one show where it was Louis Anderson was on.
Are you kidding me?
Like, really great. He always gets great guests. He really does.
What do people see in Byron Allen that obviously you and I have not seen yet?
I'm not sure.
We should have him on the show. Maybe our careers will turn around.
Let's have Byron Allen on.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
We'll talk weather for a little bit.
I'll talk weather with anybody.
But everybody who has seen the show is complaining about how scripted it is. What they do is, and they used to do this on Hollywood Squares too, which is kind of its derivative of Hollywood Squares, is they would let the stars know in advance kind of what the subject matter would be.
You're kidding me.
No.
It's not all off the cuff like I think it is.
No, but the mere fact, because I think most people who watch those shows say to themselves, wow, these guys are razor fast. Look at how fast they came up with that. But they're prompted as to what the subject matter is going to be.
Many of them are fast people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They are.
But they're cheating.
Well,
I got to watch Quiz Show again. Everything's
fake.
Everything.
Yep.
Fake news.
It's all fake news. All right. You're not doing the bonus hour today.
No, I have a doctor's appointment that I have to leave early for.
All right.
Everything's fine.
There will still be a bonus hour. You just will not participate in today's bonus hour.
Right.
All right. Judy Pilak will fill in for you.
Excellent. Don't let her do too well.
And we have a special guest, Wendy.
Why do you do this to me? You're lying.
Dave Plyer is coming on to promote something he's doing here at the station over the weekend.
Oh, I'm okay with missing that. I thought you were going to say Oprah, because you do these things to me.
And in the second half of the bonus hour, Oprah Winfrey will be joining
us.
And
I'm not here.
Dave has Judd Apatow on.
What?
Over the weekend.
Good for him.
To talk about this. There's a documentary about Gary Shandling, a four-hour documentary about the life of Gary Shandling. So he'll come on with us and tell us the story
awesome.
Of how that came to be.
So you couldn't get Judd Apatow, you get Dave Plyer?
Yeah.
I'm not so sad I'm leaving.
Byron Allen blocked it. We were so close to getting him, and Byron Allen blocked it at the last minute. All right, so we'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim Gordon.
I saw this yesterday, Wendy, and I was surprised then, and then I thought it would go away, but it didn't. It still exists, so let me share it with you. Do you remember Byron Allen?
I almost said some very mean things right
there.
Wendy,
go ahead.
He was...
Just let me hear them, and then we'll decide if you should say them or not.
He was like the poor man's Arsenio Hall.
Yes.
He was
right.
Not funny.
Oh.
He really wasn't, and I wanted to like him. I really, truly did. He had the Byron Allen show. It feels like he's always working.
Didn't he start out on that show Real People?
I think so.
I think he might have been 18 or 19 years old. So this was John Barber and Skip Stevenson. They had like four or five hosts.
Sarah Purcell, was
Sarah
she part of that?
Sarah Purcell was part of that. Very good. Very good.
You know,
that's
can
impressive.
I just say, like, there are,
that's
you know,
impressive.
Women wear sexy things and, you know, Bill looks the other way. But if you mention, like, an old television reference.
You got me.
You are so,
so
weird.
Behind one door is a woman in a lingerie, a see-through lingerie. And behind the other one is a woman who knows something about Tennessee tuxedo. Which door would I open?
The Tennessee
tuxedo every day. Yeah.
Well, of course, Chumley.
Yeah. See? It's getting warm in here. All right, so yeah,
but
Byron
he wasn't
Allen.
Funny, and I wanted. He seemed like a nice enough guy.
That was the thing: is he was a comedian, and the word
this
comedian,
is the nice comedian
implies comedy, but he was
funny.
Just he was a pleasantedian. He was just nice, you know. So all right, so since then, since he was on Real People, and if people don't remember that show, that was just a show where they just told stories about. "Quote unquote real people across the country."
I loved it.
Doing semi extraordinary things, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So after that,
like
he started.
Sister Jean would be on it. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, interesting stories about your everyday people.
Yeah.
It was a really great show.
Yeah. And I'm convinced he was a teenager when he was on it. I think he was like 19 or maybe 20 years old. He was very, very young.
I don't think he was.
You don't think
young.
He was that young? Because remember, his mom had to sit by him because it was on late, so his mom was always there. All right, so after that, he did this thing that I think was really smart. I think he understood maybe what his limitations were and knew he wasn't going to get any kind of superstardom on his own. So he started creating these shows and syndicating them. The most notable one, he still has one now. Remember, you told me about some show you were watching where they would ask a question, they would ask advice of all these different comics.
That's his
property. But the one that stands out the most was a show called Kicking It with Byron Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Unfortunately, yes.
It was on like at 2:30 in the morning on some channel, and sometimes you'd happen across it, and it was just him just kind of hanging out with people. He was kicking it. With Byron Allen.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
All right, so why do I bring this up? Because Byron Allen, the same Byron Allen that you and I have been talking about for the past 4 minutes, just bought the Weather Channel for $300 million.
A.
How did Byron Allen get $300 million?
And there is no two, because really, how?
A and B is also, did you just say Byron Allen bought the Weather Channel for $300 million? Yes.
Although I'm reading on encyclopedia.com now, I don't know if this is like Wikipedia where people can change things and lie,
mm-hmm.
but it says that he, and I don't know, maybe you knew this, he performed as a comedian in numerous nightclubs beginning in 1975, worked as a comedy writer for various comedians and television shows, including Good Times and Chico and the Man. Did you know that?
I knew he wrote for TV shows. I didn't know which shows.
Those are pretty
impressive.
Good shows.
That's very impressive.
Then the co-host of Real People from 79 to 84. That's
right,
on
so
longer than I thought.
If he started in 79, does it say what year he was born in there?
No, I'll get to that. Yeah. Host and executive producer of the Byron Allen Show. Selected television appearances include The Tonight Show, Dinah, Hollywood Squares, and The Merv Griffin Show. Co-writer, co-producer, and co-star of Case Closed, a television movie in 1988.
I don't remember that one.
I don't either.
But just the mere fact that he did a shot or two on Dinah and Merv Griffin shows that...
61 he was born.
All right, he was born in 61. He was on in 79, so he was 18 years old when
Good
he started
golly,
on.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
I know.
All right, I'd be willing to give him a bit of a break on that.
Well,
he wasn't bad on that.
That's the thing that I kind of admire about him is because he's not uproariously funny, and yet somehow he was able to amass at least $300 million.
No, he had to finance some of that. I'm
sorry.
Do you
think so?
He did not just whip out his checkbook and write a check for $300 million.
He had to have a bunch of cash to even walk in the door and make them an offer. But his thing was always not being the funniest comic, but he was more of an entrepreneur than a comic. Because like I said, other than Kicking It with Byron Allen, he would always do these shows where at the beginning of the show, he'd go, "Hey, I'm Byron Allen. Here's who's coming on today's show. Robert Redford, Meryl Streep." It was all like all the A-listers.
Yeah.
And you go, how did he pull that off? But it was all like just, I don't know, somebody doing him a favor or something. Somebody must have liked him.
At 14, the 14-year-old Byron Allen devoted his whole life to school and working on comedy routines. at 14, making sure to practice at every opportunity. One night, while he was standing around the halls of NBC waiting for his mother, who was a television executive.
That's going to help.
Yeah. Alan started telling his jokes to anyone who would listen, including one of comedy star J.J. Walker's writers. Let me just find out his mom, because she is Carolyn Folks.
I don't know her.
But
Jimmy Walker had... this is weird, but Jimmy Walker amassed this list of writers that was incredible. Like, he had the best writers. David Letterman started out as a writer for Jimmy Walker.
That is
hard to imagine.
I got to let that sink in for a minute.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. So the listener was so impressed with the jokes that Alan was saying that he called his boss, told him about this young comic he found. Walker called Alan a few nights later, offered him a job on his staff of comedy writers, which at the time included David Letterman.
Yeah.
Wow. For the next few years, Alan continued to refine his stand-up routine at various clubs around L.A. and to write jokes for comedians like Freddie Prinze. But Alan never let his career get in the way of his education. By the time he was 16 years old, he was working two or three shows a night while maintaining a B average at Fairfax High School. I don't want to know this stuff because I should like him more then. He worked his butt off.
I admire the fact that he was so industrious and studious and realized... I need to make this a business.
This is going to make you mad.
What?
He was so adamant about getting a good education that when he got a call from the talent coordinator at The Tonight Show during his senior year, Alan turned them down. He said, I was right in the middle of high school and midterms, and I knew that those would be the grades that the University of Southern California was going to look at, so I turned them down.
It ended up being the right move. Look at what he's doing. He's doing great for himself.
Good.
It's hot, but
$300 million.
All right. So here's the headline I see yesterday when I get home: comedian buys Weather Channel for $300 million. So I don't want to open the story. I want to figure it out on my own. I'm like, well, who would have that kind of money, and who would want to buy the Weather Channel? Like, if I had that money, first of all, I'd buy Toys R Us right now.
Right, but they're $5 billion
in debt.
You can't afford
that's
them.
That's a mistake. Right.
You could afford the Weather Channel though. No.
I think
well, John Coleman was the one, former weatherman here, started it up.
Right.
Who would you have thought?
I couldn't think of
David Letterman?
Although he was a weatherman in Indiana. I couldn't think of a single person that it made sense to spend that much money on the weather. $300 million. And then when I read it, I go, Byron Allen? Like, that wouldn't have even... If I had 100 guesses, I would not have guessed Byron Allen.
Although we're questioning his role as a comedian, but John, you find him funny on his show?
He is on a show called Funny You Should Ask.
That's what I was talking
about.
The one. Night show on Channel 26, WCIU. And he's on sometimes. He's not on every show, but he's listed as the producer.
Yeah.
And that's where you make the money. That's how Oprah got, when she got ownership of her show, that's how she made all her money, was as the producer and owner of the show.
Seinfeld's the same way with his show, Seinfeld. He's the producer. He owns the rights. So he and Larry David split all that money. They're, you know, he's set for life. Not from the performing end of it, but from the ownership end of it.
Right, yeah.
All right, well, that makes sense. And what happens on that show again? Funny You Should Ask.
What they do is they have six comics.
And they're big names.
Oh, yeah.
So, they have Howie Mandel,
yeah.
Cheryl Hines, John Kelly is the... He used to be the host.
The sports guy at Channel 5.
Here.
Yeah, Channel 5.
He's the MC.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a funny show. They do what they do. They have two contestants trying to win money. And it's only $5,000, and most of the time they don't even win that. But
that's why Byron Allen has all that money, John. He keeps all the prize money
right.
for himself.
It's such a cheap winning.
I know.
Yeah, it's like most of the time they don't even win the $5,000. They win about $1,000.
Yeah.
But anyway, what they do is they ask a question of each comic, and it's either sometimes true or false, or, you know, they just give an answer. And first the comic will make a funny remark about it. Instead of answering, you know, straight, they'll give a funny answer. And then they'll answer with a straight answer.
Kind of like Hollywood Squares.
A little bit like that, yeah.
The contestant has to agree with the comic or not, and they win money that way.
Well, I'll look for Byron Allen. John, we got to run. We got to take a break. But I didn't know he performed on it. I did know he produced it.
He performs on it as a comic sometimes. But he's listed as the producer of the show.
Yep.
Thanks for the info.
Thank you, John.
Okay, take it easy.
Take care. Another satisfied Byron Allen fan.
There's one.
There's one right there. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill Left and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Byron Allen, former stand-up comic, talk show host, former contributor to Real People.
At a very young age.
As a teenager.
Yeah.
Bought the Weather Channel. I didn't know it was for sale.
I didn't either. But he's bought other similar, maybe not as high-profile network situations, but I've seen his name connected with other purchases in the past. But $300 million...
We need new financial advisors.
Yes.
I think we need new. We need a financial
advisor. Yes,
and some money.
Yeah, we'll get with that and the financial advisor. Yeah.
How does somebody have $300 million?
In his case, I have to say, even though he's not, I don't know that he'd make anyone's list.
He is not funny.
He's so in love with you, honey.
Oh, my God.
But look at what he did. Like, he realized, I'm not the best stand-up comic out there, so I'll make my money work for me. And he just kept buying things and acquiring things. And I swear, I used to watch that Kicking It with Byron Allen show with my jaw dropping, going, hey, how did this happen?
I know.
It's crazy.
Well, he's a genius.
Several people are saying that the show that he's on now... Do you remember the name of it? The name of it escapes me. We just heard the name of it.
You know, I was looking in my notes because I made notes.
You brought this show up.
Funny you should ask. Yeah,
funny you should ask.
I was shocked at how bad it was.
You just by chance found it a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or so.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see John Kelly because he went from like NBC 5 Sports to like Entertainment Weekly or something.
Yeah, he was doing a similar.
And then it's like, this is what he's doing, really?
Yeah.
And then I was surprised to see Howie Mandel and Cheryl Hines.
Oh, the I saw one show where it was Louis Anderson was on.
Are
it.
You kidding
like,
me?
Like, really great. He always gets great guests. He really does.
What do people see in Byron Allen that obviously you and I have not seen yet?
I'm not sure.
We should have him on the show. Maybe our careers will turn around.
Let's have Byron Allen on.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
We'll talk weather for a little bit.
I'll talk weather with anybody.
But everybody's everybody who has seen the show is complaining about how scripted it is. What they do is, and they used to do this on Hollywood Squares too, which is kind of its derivative of Hollywood Squares, is they would let the stars know in advance kind of what the subject matter would be.
You're kidding me.
No.
It's not all off the cuff like I think it is.
No, but the mere fact, because I think most people who watch those shows say to themselves, wow, these guys are razor fast. Look at how fast they came up with that. But they're prompted as to what the subject matter is going to be.
Many of them are fast people.
Oh, yeah. They are.
But they're cheating.
Well,
I got to watch Quiz Show again. Everything's
fake.
Everything.
Yep.
Fake news.
It's all fake news. All right. You're not doing the bonus hour today.
No, I have a doctor's appointment that I have to leave early for.
All right.
Everything's fine.
There will still be a bonus hour. You just will not participate in today's bonus hour.
Right.
All right. Judy Pilak will fill in for you.
Excellent. Don't let her do too well.
And we have a special guest, Wendy.
Why do you do this to me? You're lying.
Dave Plyer is coming on to promote something he's doing here at the station over the weekend.
Okay with missing that. I thought you were going to say Oprah, because you do these things to me.
And in the second half of the bonus hour, Oprah Winfrey will be joining
us.
And
I'm not here.
Dave has Judd Apatow on.
What?
Over the weekend.
Good for him.
To talk about this. There's a documentary about Gary Shandling, a four-hour documentary about the life of Gary Shandling. So he'll come on with us and tell us the story
awesome.
Of how that came to be.
So you couldn't get Judd Apatow, you get Dave Plyer?
Yeah.
I'm not so sad I'm leaving.
Byron Allen blocked it. We was so close to getting him, and Byron Allen blocked it at the last minute. All right, so we'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.